Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This song is from Gitavali of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was certainly a most philosophical type of person, and he's speaking, telling us through this song to at least once consider, having attained this human form of life, we should at least once consider what are we doing here? We came into this world, we're wandering around in this world, birth after birth, with so many desires, under the control of desire, and by the force of desire, we're wandering around in this world. By the force of desire means we're trying to fulfill desires with the hope of happiness. But what, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, what happiness did we get? What did you get? Who are you? Where were you? How have you come? What did you do to come here? What kind of work have you done on the basis of which you'll go? Where are you going when this body falls down dead? Why is there happiness? Why is there distress? Why is there fear? Why all this sense of I, me, and mine? Why? Keno. Srila Prabhupada talking about Keno Upanishad. He said this because in Bengali, Keno means why. Why? The big question, why? Okay, forget all this philosophizing. I just had a great victory. Great victory. Huge victory. Tucha. All this. Oh, and then another time. Oh, terrible defeat. But it's all meaningless. Insignificant. All this conquering, being conquered. anger. And violence, hatred toward others. Why all of this? Bhaktivinoda taking shelter at the lotus feet of Gaura, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and advising us also to do so, says that this is all extrinsic to our actual nature. We are, by nature, Chidananda Roshamai. We are spiritual, blissful, full of mellows, emotional mellows. So understanding this, chant the names of Radha Krishna. And the next song in this series is Radha Krishna Bol Bol Bolore Shobai. So there we have it. This is the philosophical outlook that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. Just think about it. Of course, it's presuming that we accept that we have birth after birth after birth. That's just taken as a given. Yeah, among most followers of Vedic culture. And if we actually understand that we're having birth after birth after birth, it should lead us to think, to consider very deeply what is the nature of life in this world. Where did I come from? Where am I going to? What is the point? So Chit Anandamai. We are, by nature, our very nature is that we are conscious and blissful. But in this material world we are conscious and not blissful. The fact that we are conscious living beings, this point should be understood. We can say it's philosophy, or you could say it's just a belief. Srila Prabhupada, of course, gave a very simple method by which we can understand that we are conscious living beings separate from the body, which even a child can understand. The simple method of point to, you say, okay, you can say, my neck. Okay, point, my neck, my chest, my left arm, my left forearm, my left right leg, my head, me. Where is the me? You can point here if you like, but where is it? Somebody may point to the heart, you may point to the head, but if you open up the heart or open up the head, or you won't find the me, or the where is this, where is the life in the body? Where is consciousness? Where does it come from? It's not chemicals. There's no combination of chemicals that can be made into a conscious living being. This is the real missing link in the whole idea of biological evolution. That you all know the story. Once upon a time, as all good fairy tales begin, there was nothing, and it exploded. Fireworks. Then it all settled down, and it bubbled around for some time. And all the chemicals were bubbling around and getting zapped by electric shocks from nowhere, or out of nothing, or somehow or other electric shocks were zapping it. Somehow or other, it's very scientific, you see. And then it formed some individual cells, which formed into more complex creatures. And then we got biological evolution, which was powered by the motivation of the survival of the fittest. But why and under what conditions did a group of chemicals desire to survive and promulgate? How are you feeling? It's silly, isn't it? This is just matter, if we'll believe that. Actually, it's mostly nothing, right? If we go down to the atomic level, it's mostly nothing. A lot of nothing and little some things in there. So why should a group of chemicals desire to preserve themselves and to promulgate their species? Why? Where does that come from? Out of chemicals alone, where does that come from? So it's very, you can say it's not scientifically proven, but it does make a lot of sense that we are spiritual beings with inherently different qualities to that which is in matter, because matter doesn't have desire. Krishna has explained, I just read the verse this morning, avinashi tu tadviti yena sarvamidang tatam vinasham avyayas yasya nakaschit kartam arhati. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to destroy that imperishable soul. Elsewhere in the Gita, Krishna says that the soul within the body pervades consciousness throughout it, as the sun pervades light and heat throughout the universe. Now, what is the nature of that soul that is described in the purport? Srila Prabhupada quotes from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Balagra Shata Bhagasya Shatada Kalpitasya Cha Bhago Jiva Savigyaya Satchanantaya Kalpate. The tip of a hair, if it's imagined to be cut 100 times 100 times, then we get some idea of it. It gives some idea of the microscopic size of the jiva, and there are unlimited numbers of such jivas in more detail. Kesha agra shatabhagasya shatangsa sadrishatmika. Jiva sukshma swarupo yang sankhya tito hichit karnaha. So the same idea of dividing again and again, that which is invisible, inscrutable by nature, the jiva. The word used here is jiva. Remember, we're discussing jiva swarup hai Krishna nitya das. Jiva swarup, that swarup, if we want to examine the jiva in as a particle, so it's sukshma, it's very subtle, it's adrishatmakaha. By nature, it's not visible to the eyes, which suggests that that it can't be seen, is not perceptible to the gyanendriyas. We can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or feel it. We can't feel it in the same way that we can feel material objects. This is the nature of the jiva. Same thing, sankhyatito, beyond counting. How many jivas are there? And then very important point, chit kana. It is a particle of consciousness. Is of a nature which is different to matter. Matter is not conscious by its very definition. So how does consciousness arise? No one's even asking that. In the scientific circles, they may say that, well, matter at a certain point of evolution gives rise to consciousness. But there's no clue as to how that could come about, or even how matter at the present time generates consciousness. Now they may say that within the brain is the seat of consciousness, but which chemicals under which conditions give rise to consciousness? They're absolutely clueless, because they must be clueless, because it doesn't work like that. Consciousness may appear to be affected by the activities within the brain, but the consciousness as a principle is independent of the brain, and that is understandable by astral travel, near-death experiences, and also, it's understandable by people who don't have brains. There are people, literally, who don't have brains. Literally. Gray matter. They don't have it, or just a tiny sliver. And their cranium is full of some kind of liquid. But they have... you wouldn't know, because they have completely function in the way of a normal human being, whatever a normal human being might be. This very small, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, this very small spiritual spark is the basic principle of the material body, and the influence of such a spiritual spark is the basic principle of the influence of such a spiritual spark is spread all over the body as the influence of the active principle of some medicine spreads throughout the body. This current of the spirit soul is felt all over the body as consciousness, and that is the proof of the presence of the soul. Any layman can understand that the material body minus consciousness is a dead body, and this consciousness cannot be revived in the body by any means of material administration. And this is another way by which we can deduce the presence of the soul as different from the body. Because if someone dies, he's gone away. and it's in every language, gone away. Wherever I go in the world where not English speaking, I say, it's in your language also, isn't it? And it is, whichever language it may be Italian or Russian or Tamil or Telugu, whatever the language is, when it's a manner of saying someone has died, to say they've gone away. But who, what went away? You say, he's gone away. Oh, what? Is your father here? No, he's gone away. Gone away? Gone away? Gone away? Where? His body is right there. No, he's gone away. That means we never knew the father because we always related with the body as the father. But we say gone away. That means intrinsically we understand that the person who is the father is not there anymore, because the person, the father, is not the body. Even this was proposed in philosophy and science at some point. That was 19th century, early 20th century, they call it vitalism. There's something vital, which is different from the body. No, it's all rejected. Vitalism is considered a very primitive theory. The ghost in the machine. You're trying to propose something which is not possible, that there's some principle which is different from matter, which gives rise to life, and it's just rejected outright by persons who are considered regular philosophers or orthodox scientists. To be an orthodox scientist, to get your tenure in the university, you cannot propose such things. It's only if you are completely materialistic in the sense of philosophic materialism, or if you're physicalism, nowadays called physicalism, unless you buy into the supposed understanding that there's nothing but matter, then you're not allowed to be a philosopher or a scientist. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins, Jiva Sarupai Krishna Nityadas, that which is rejected even as a point of discussion in so-called science and philosophy is accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the principle of understanding. First of all, understand this. We are a jiva. There's not that much discussion in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy of the nature of the jiva. That's already given in Bhagavad Gita, that we are jiva, we are a living being. We are not dead matter. It's the first thing to understand. Who am I? What would the answer be? Grama bebo hare loke am I kahi a pandit? People say I'm a pandit. Oh, that Sanatan Goswami, you are very learned. Sarkar Malik is very prominent position in the government. These are all mundane designations which we pick up as we go through the course of one life. I am this body, I am American, I am of Jewish ancestry, I am young, fit and healthy, I am a resident of the state of Georgia, which is part of the United States of America. These are all mundane designations. God bless America. What is America? America is a concept that we have imposed on a particular piece of land and divided it up into 50 what states? 50? How many states? 50 states, of which One is Georgia, and we put a line on a map and say this is Georgia. So these are all designations which we have imposed on some land, and then we call ourselves Americans, and it's got nothing intrinsically to do with the land or ourselves. And then I say, I am an American. Having made this concept, America, which we identify with, and then we say, I am an American. These are foreigners. Keep those foreigners out. But it's all simply designations, mundane designations, which change. The land America won't be here forever. Even the land which we call America won't be here forever. The designation, the United States of America, may not remain United States. They may break up. Georgia, I could be booked for, what's that called? There's a word which I don't remember just now.
Sedition.
Sedition, yeah, but there's another word which... No, when you undermine the...
Treason,
no, it's another word, but it doesn't matter that much anyway. When you undermine the order, insubordination, no, I'm not looking for that word. Sovereign, no, go against these. Anyway, it's another word which I just don't remember, and none of you are remembering it either, but it doesn't matter that much for the course of our discussion here. Sedition. Then when you want to break up the United States, so it's no longer the United States. But anyway, all this, it's nationalism, God bless America, I love America. It's got nothing to do with the jiva. The jiva by nature has nothing to do with any of this. Who should win the war in Ukraine? Who's supporting Russia? Who's supporting Ukraine? It's all phantasmagoria. It's got nothing to do, it's nothing to do with the nature of the jiva. Neither the jivas who identify as Ukrainian nor those who identify as Russian have, or those who identify, let's support Ukraine or let's support Russia. It's all part of the phantasmagoria by which we identify with this world. It's nothing to do with the nature of the jiva, whose swarup, whose actual form is different from that which we presently identify with. We identify with the body, and we identify with other bodies according to their material identity, but we have neither, I have anything to do with America nor you. America itself is an imagination from the purely transcendental perspective. The land is there. Yeah, it's there. We're not saying it's not there. But the calling it the United States of America and identifying with it, this is the kind of illusion which binds us to this material world. Therefore, sarvopadivinirmuktam. In the very beginning, if we're going to be transcendental to all of this, we have to understand that everything that goes on in this world, it's upadis, or designations, the world of names. We live in the world and we give names to different concepts and phenomena, and then we identify with them. The Atlanta Braves, I learned on Sunday, the local baseball team is called the Atlanta Braves, and we can go and... They're the world champions, which means in America, because no one plays baseball anywhere else, do they? And then there's the Dallas Braves. Is it? No, wait a minute, Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys. I learned that from listening to a talk by Tamal Krishna Goswami. So it's authorized. And there may be so many others, whatever they may be. But we're not content simply with identifying with one set of designation, but we want to identify very strongly with it. So if you're from Atlanta, then you should cheer on the Atlanta Braves, and if you're from Dallas, then you should cheer on the Dallas Cowboys. We like to supposedly reify or make stronger our material identification by adding on more and more layers of illusion. But we can break through all of that by understanding, I am not this body. Most liberating statement. We want liberation. But on the material platform, women's liberation, gay rights, animal rights. But complete liberation means to understand I'm a jiva and I have my swarup, which is independent from all these. I have my constitutional position, which is independent from all these mundane designations. Now, this is a very important point to understand, because there are those who say, yeah, we want to be liberated from all these mundane designations. Liberated from all designations. But Bhagavatam teaches us, muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. The idea that we become liberated from all designations and then we merge into a oneness. But Bhagavatam says, no, giving up all these false designations, false forms, we attain our actual position. So we have our own liberated position. And it's not that every jiva just becomes the same. Swarup means we have personal form. That means with designations. But these are designations which are not false designations. We have ego, but in the liberated state we have ego, but it's not false ego. And we have form, but it's not false form. So this to be understood by the term jiva swarup. Swarup. We have a real form. We have our real activities. And for those who think that we should be free of all designations and then merge into a oneness, that is also described in the Bhagavatam, that because we don't accept that our swarup, our real form, is as the eternal servant of Krishna, we're discussing here, jiva swarup hoy Krishna nitya das, then due to misunderstanding or not accepting our position as the eternal servant of Krishna, when we understand that I have nothing to do with these material designations, but we do not accept our designation as the eternal servant of Krishna, then our position becomes yenye ravindaksha vimuktaman inastvayasta bhava davi shuddha buddhaya aruhya kritrena parang padang tata patantya dho nadrita yushmadangraya. Not accepting the lotus feet of Krishna, we can become liberated from mundane designations with great difficulty. It is very hard to get free from mundane designations unless we accept our true spiritual designation as an eternal servant of Krishna, because it is our nature as a jiva to be conscious, and consciousness means not simply awareness, but consciousness brings desire, because our natural position is as an eternal servant of Krishna, which means chid ananda rasamai. We just sung in this song, our nature is to be full of bliss, and simply to have awareness is not bliss. Bliss comes from interaction with others, specifically with Krishna. But when we think that, well, all interaction with other living beings brings suffering, so this must be interaction with other living beings brings suffering, therefore interaction with other living beings, that's what we see on this mundane platform, but interaction with other living beings brings suffering, therefore stop all identification with other living beings, no more interaction with other living beings, and then we become liberated. But that is only impersonal liberation, and that does not satisfy the jiva, because the jiva by nature is conscious, and consciousness means not just to see what is there, but consciousness is intrinsically linked with desire. Desire causes attachment, causes suffering. That's true on the material level. So if we think we'll stop desire and we'll stop attachment and we'll stop suffering, that can bring us to the position of liberation. But it's not vimukti. It's not complete liberation. Liberation, yes, but then what is our swaroop? What is our constitutional position? And that is with desire. It's not that desire is to be stopped, as we were discussing yesterday with our Buddhist friend, that we have so many bad desires, but that is to be rectified, not simply nullified. The impure desires are to be rectified, so we have to have pure desires. And pure, then we have to know what is the source of all purity. And if we say that there is impurity, that suggests that there is purity, which means there is an absolute standard. The absolute standard is Krishna. Krishna is the benchmark. Purity, impurity, why at all should that be there? What is the standard of purity and impurity? Simply to be free from desire is not full purity. To be free from material desire, that means we're free from impurity, but then what is purity? From where does impurity come? We can say from desire, but that suggests that there is pure desire which has become perverse, which we know from the example of the reflected tree. Why at all should there be impure desire? That comes from our limited independence that we have. As jivas, as living beings, we cannot not be conscious, and consciousness means desire. So jiva swarup, hoi Krishna nityadas, the actual form and constitutional position of the jiva, of the living being, is to be Krishna's eternal servant. But the verb here is hoi, which means it suggests that it is supposed to be, but it's provisional. We don't have to accept it. We're meant for that, but we don't have to accept it. We're meant for that. But it is jiva swarup, it's meant to be like that, but it's not. It's not always like that. It's provisional. So the Jiva has a specific constitutional position. It's not arbitrary. We are meant for our constitutional position. We're not in our constitutional position if we're taking birth after birth after birth. That means we get different bodies. With each body comes a different mentality. This is life in the material world. Body after body after body after body. Whichever body we're in, we identify with it. Specifically in the human life, it is the life which generates more and future bodies. Our future bodies are generated by the situation we are in our human life. This is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, at least once, think about it. Just think, where have we come from? Where are we going? What are we doing? Why are we here? At least we should think about it. Otherwise, we are prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. We just think we're a doer, but we are, the present situation and the present mentality we've got is formed by previous impressions and previous desires under the modes of nature, purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. We are supposed to be living beings independent of this material situation, but we're not. We're stuck in material nature because we want to enjoy this material nature. By association with the three modes of material nature, we get body after body after body, some of which appear to be good and some not good. And in this way, thinking ourselves the doer of activities, we are thrown from body to body to body to body to body, on and on and on and on. But human life is the possibility to consider all these things. Now, we get a certain type of mentality due to our association with the modes of material nature in a previous life. In psychology, they want to analyze how we how is the personality formed. There are two considerations: nature and nurture. You're born with a certain psychophysical makeup. And the culture that we are exposed to, this is also very influential on what comes out to be our personality. But it's not our real personality. Whatever it is, either nature or nurture and a combination of them, it's not our real personality. It's a superimposition on our real personality, which is as an eternal servant of Krishna. But there is a possibility in this human life to come out of this illusory identification with the material world. And that is if we have the good fortune to even think about all these kind of things and get proper answers. Just like Sanatana Goswami was asking, Kayame, Kene Ame, Kene Amai Jare Ta Patroi, Iha Nahi Jani Kemane. Hit ahoy. Who am I? Why am I suffering? Within the three kinds of suffering. Why am I suffering? Why? I don't even know how to properly answer, how to properly question what is for my benefit. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when one has enough good sense to even think of these things and ask, then one can have a hope of getting proper answers. And if one is fortunate enough to come into the association of someone who knows all these things, as of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows, then one can start to get proper answers. So the fact is that we are eternal jivas going from body to body to body, but we're not meant for this. We we ask these questions, if we're fortunate enough, we ask these questions, there is a sense of discontent. That sense of discontent is very good if it's channeled properly. The sense of discontent, if it's not channeled properly, then it leads us to try out all kinds of different things. I'm not content doing what I'm doing, and that discontent drives us to try out all kinds of different things to satisfy our senses. But when we come to some kind of understanding that simply trying to enjoy myself in this way is not satisfying me, there's got to be something beyond this, then we come to Atato Brahma Jignasa, inquiring into the nature of the Absolute Truth. Now, this is somewhat different from being religious. We may be religious and believe in God and worship God, but never have any real philosophical inclination whatsoever. We believe in God and we go to church, or we may not believe in God and go to church. There are people like that also. They don't have any deep religious sense, or they may not believe in God, but it's in the community they live in, it's what you do, and to be an accepted part of the community, to be considered a good citizen or a good Catholic or a good whatever you may be, you go to church. They may not believe it, but they don't want to think about it too deeply. They just go along to get along. But philosophically, yeah, we can believe in God and not have much philosophical sense. And it's quite like most people in the world today who believe in God don't think about it too much. Although they are being prodded to more and more and more by atheistic propaganda. But a lot of what goes on when people start to think about it is that they want to justify it because they think, well, I'm a Muslim, so it must be the best religion, right? Or I'm a Christian, so it must be the best religion because I am a Christian. I was born into that. So it must be the best thing, and we don't want to go outside of that because we feel uncomfortable outside of it. So we seek justification of what we're doing, and we seek to put down others. Why are most people, if you ask a somewhat intellectual Muslim why you're a Muslim, they'll give you so many reasons why it's the best religion, but in most cases, it's because they were born into it, and they feel their identification with it, and therefore they want to justify it. It's not really very philosophical, but because they identify with that, they want to justify it, and they'll come up with so many philosophical reasons, and they'll put others down. That's an important part of being a member of one religious persuasion, is that you put down others and show how they're not good, and that shows how you are better. But another approach altogether is to start off with, well, what is the Absolute Truth? And it's a long journey. It's a long, long journey which could take us through that begins Atato Brahma Jignasa. When one is fed up with performing Vedic sacrifices for the sake of going to the heavenly planets, enjoying in this material world, then one comes to the inquiry Atato Brahma Jignasa. What is the ultimate truth? Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivante yat prayatyabhisang vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. When one comes to the point of inquiring what is the absolute truth, then he may get the answer. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, in which everything exists, and by which everything exists. That into which everything ultimately enters, that is the proper subject of inquiry, that is Brahman. And what is the nature? Kim tad Brahma, kim adhyatma. What is the nature of Brahma? What is the nature of the spiritual? What does it mean to be spiritual? Aksharam Brahma paramam svabhava adhyatma uchyate. And the nature of Brahma is that which is the beginning and the end of everything. The nature of the living of spirit is the very constitution of every living being. And this, and then there are the various answers given in Shastra to all these questions. One who is very fortunate, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavang Mang Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. It's a long, long philosophical journey from beginning to ask what is the nature of the supreme spiritual to accepting Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. There's the impersonal realization, Paramatma realization, ultimately realization of the absolute truth as the personality of Godhead. It's a long, long journey, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very mercifully making it, very just giving it briefly. Jive Sarupoi Krishna Nityadas Krishna Tartashta Shakti Bheda Bheda Prakash. So there we have it. Lifetimes of philosophical searching, just Vasudeva. Vasudeva is all in all. That term Vasudeva, then we come to, that ultimately means Krishna, but that is also identified as first in the forms of the Chaturvyuha. There are those who will accept all of this. Yes, we are jivas. Our eternal form is the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they will come to Narayana. So even to accept Krishna, this highest understanding, it's not incorrect to say the eternal servant, the constitutional position of the living being is as the eternal servant of Narayana. It's not at all absolutely correct. But to accept Krishna, specifically Krishna, as the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the specialty of accepting Krishna instead of Narayana, it's not, even the language, it's a bit touchy, because Narayana is non-different from Krishna, but there are differences, because Krishna is the very form of all rasas. So when we say Jiva Surupai Krishna Nitya Das, we say, well, philosophy, yeah, but let's get up to the rasa tattva, but that's automatically there when we say Krishna. Automatically there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain to Sanatana Goswami all these things, but we have to begin at the beginning. And I'm going to keep these sessions to 1 hour each at a time, and that's 1 hour. So, Hare Krishna. That's it for now. And Krishna willing, we'll discuss this some more in the next session. How this Jiva Surupai Krishna Nitya Das is the portal into all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his own words, highest philosophy. Hare Krishna, vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patidanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatamedad aham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurutanuraga Ha. parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makara nabhayang vicharya mahari rasamadhi ramadati mata bhuvivilotama nartama nirvisha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.